Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
No. Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and we'll be here for the next 25 minutes. We spent the last hour almost exclusively talking about the Supreme Court nomination that the president will be submitting later on in the week, perhaps even Saturday, after the services for Ruth Bader Ginsburg will be held, or her body's going to lie in state at the Capitol, as is customary for Supreme Court justices who pass away. Flags are being flown at half staff across the country as well. Steve Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
So,
good to see you back, Ed.
Well, thank you, Steve. Notice on Facebook, a couple folks saying I still look tired. I am. I will say it's my wife and I have not slept well because of all the medication. So I am a little tired, but you know what? Right after this show, I'm going to get a Diet Coke. And
Life goes on.
I got to get back in the game. So, Carol, thank you. And Philip, for your concern, appreciate your prayers. So.
Yeah, if you didn't hear us last hour, Ed is our COVID man here on staff here at Today's Issues. So he took one for the team.
I did.
And was out for 2 weeks. Well, you were out for longer than that, weren't you?
Yeah, 3 weeks. I was out 3 weeks.
3 weeks. We still paid you?
Yes.
Everything? Okay.
You did.
Huh?
You did.
I mean, that's.
I'm very grateful for that, too.
I'm just saying you burned up all your vacation days and you're working on your sick days right now. So,
No, no. I want our listeners to know that we take care of. I'm not the only
yes.
one. We've had two other employees who've had COVID, and AFA
yes.
Pays them.
Yes,
COVID.
I'm just kidding.
I know, but someone will remark, you guys shouldn't. You should. So
right,
he was just kidding.
All right. All right, Steve. No COVID Steve is on with us.
No. In fact, I was tested a couple weeks ago because, I'm going out at the end of this week to visit meet my new granddaughter in Eugene,
man.
Oregon.
That's
and
awesome.
My daughter asked if I wouldn't mind taking a COVID test before I got out there just to be perfectly safe. So I did, and I don't have it. I was.
But you took the written test, though, didn't you?
It was the written test.
That's not the same thing.
I studied really hard.
So you didn't have it as of when?
About two weeks ago.
So what if you have it now?
Well, there's no saying I don't, but I don't. I'm pretty sure I don't.
You don't know, Steve.
You never know.
I'm just saying you took a test 2 weeks ago for a trip you're taking.
I'm telling you, it was the written test.
Yeah.
Do you have COVID?
Well, the other
no.
reason I... The
you
other,
know what?
The other reason
what?
I...
I'm being a rear end right here, and I apologize for it.
The other reason I took the test is because I've been in contact with Ed, so...
Okay, I'm just going
to... Not close contact.
Okay, I'm going to quit being a smarty.
At least
for the next 20
your
minutes.
Your mom will call you.
I know. Go, Steve.
Well, okay, so I know you guys spent the last hour talking about the whole appointment to the Supreme Court and all, and I want to get to some non-Supreme Court-related news, but if you will indulge me a minute or two, I'd like to say this. We can talk about hypocrisy. We can talk about the Biden rule and why it's right for the Republicans to put a nominee up there and it's wrong for the Democrats back when they wanted to do it. But everybody knows it's a bunch of hooey, because everybody knows that each party is going to do what is best interest of their party, or what they think is in the best interest of their party, because there's only one currency in politics, and it's power. And so each side will and should, I guess, because it's the way you play the game, exercise that power. And to all the milquetoast Republicans out there, like Mitt Romney and Murkowski and Collins, and by the way, I might say, to all the never-Trump evangelicals who say we need to act differently, Ed and Tim, if I was to walk out in the hall here and just deck the first person I see, if I was to shove them down right on, flat on their back, you would, in addition to firing me, probably have some questions about my my ethical and moral compass. But if you put pads and a helmet on me and put me on a football field, you'll cheer me when I do that, because that's the way the game is played. And for Never Trumpers and for conceding, you know, these get along Republicans to say, well, we need to act differently because, you know, we need to bring, you know, restraint back. It would be like a Christian linebacker politely asking the running back if he wouldn't mind laying down on the ground so he could touch him down instead of tackling the guy. That's not how you play the game. And yes, we can act like Christians, and we should, and legislators should, when they're interacting personally with these people, love them, pray for them, do the Scalia-Ginsburg thing. It's great. But when you're legislating, when you're in Washington doing politics, the game, the rules, is power. It's the only way you play the game.
You're referring, by the way, to the fact that Antonin Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, although on opposite sides of the political spectrum, were actually very good friends.
I was.
Yeah. So I just wanted our listeners to know that. Listen, we send representatives and senators to Congress to vote, and we ask them to represent us. And if they're conservative, that's what they do. If they're liberal, that's what they do. That's that, like you said, that's the way the game is played. You're not being unchristian by representing the people who sent you to D.C.
And the rules have been rewritten in the last several years by the Democrats, who started making war since, as you guys mentioned, since Bork on judicial nominees, who have been burning down America since 2016, since the Michael Brown thing, since 2014, and who have been unhinged and just doing their level best to destroy what we believe is the Constitution and the democracy in this country since 2016. So that's the rules. That's how they want to play. Yeah. That's the only thing that they're going to understand. Not that I'm advocating violence and burning down cities,
and
by the way.
And if you do just walk out and deck someone, we will exercise raw political power.
Well, you should.
And fire you.
You should.
Just don't mess with the popcorn machine.
Right.
That's true. We'll press charges.
Yeah. I mean, that violence against our fellow employees here does rank high, but that's right after don't mess with the
right.
popcorn machine.
By the way, we did have a couple people on Facebook ask why you didn't get popcorn today.
That's a good question. Well, I got caught in the hall talking to somebody.
Ah, that'll
got
do it.
I got distracted.
Did you just hold up a hand and say, I'm sorry, it's popcorn time?
Yeah, well, yeah, usually people know, don't bother Tim right now. He's
on a mission.
Going to worship at the popcorn machine. Just kidding.
Yes.
Can you some of these Christians you can't kid with. You know what I'm saying? you know those types?
I do.
Huh?
I do.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Steve, and Ed. Earthquake hit Los Angeles area, didn't it, Steve? Pretty serious one. Over
A 4 point something. It's not that bad, actually.
Not bad.
Unless there's been one since.
I just saw 4.8.
4.8.
I guess it depends on where you live. You put a 4.8 in Tupelo.
Yeah, you'd be scared. Yeah. No, 4.8 is not all that uncommon in California. You'll feel it. It's one of those ones where you'll look around and start wondering whether it's a 4.8 or a 6.0. But, it didn't do much damage that I'm aware of. And life.
Well, Trump said there's more to come if you keep giving me grief.
Well, that's true. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know if, huh?
Talk about raw power.
Is that a dog whistle? What is that? When you threaten people with earthquakes, Ed.
Right.
That's he didn't really kid about that, did he?
No.
Yeah, I just never know.
No,
when
but
someone
he,
says
no,
something.
You got to say one thing for President Trump, and I don't always agree with his methods on what he says and how, but he is a troll.
Yes.
You got to give him a gold medal.
Yeah.
For trolling. By trolling, I mean he says things that he knows is going to get a rise and a reaction out of the left.
Like I used to do with my sisters,
media.
My mom would call me a scooch. I think that's Italian. She'd say, you're being a scooch. You're just trying to irritate your sisters.
Yeah.
And that's what
you're
does.
You're poking them.
Yeah. Yes.
You're poking them to get a reaction. And Trump loves to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'll say that's probably not a good thing to do right there. But that's, you know, when he wants to stir it up a little bit, that's when he'll say something that'll get him to. Well, the Democrats' hair has been on fire for 4 years now, right? Almost,
it.
Huh?
Good way of putting it.
Yeah. I mean, they about don't have any hair left to burn. So every week is, oh, Trump's doing this. Oh, Trump's doing that. Oh, Trump. End of the world as we know it. Oh, yeah. They're doing this all the time.
4 years straight.
Huh?
I know.
Been doing this the whole time here. Now.
It's not.
Now Joe Biden, the Democrat vice
nominee,
former vice president, says in a speech that 200 million Americans have died of COVID.
During his speech, by the way.
Now, one of our Facebook viewers said that it was fact-checked. So, I don't know
it
by whom.
It wasn't fact-checked by Biden.
No.
Huh?
That's true.
Oh, who is it? Well.
I don't know.
I know. Okay. Yeah, somebody. I know. I was... being a little over the top there, saying nobody.
It's not going to cost him.
I'm saying if Donald Trump says today, you know, we got the greatest ice cream in the world here in America, then they're going to fact check him and say he can't prove that.
That's right. Switzerland actually does,
and they reject the idea. So fact check. But Biden can say things that are outrageous and provable, demonstrably false on substantial things, like how many Americans have died of COVID, and the left acts like, oh, he just made a speaking error, just made a speaking mistake. And I'm not saying we can't all do that. We all do. Most of us do on a daily basis, make some kind of, but I'm talking, just listen to that again. He doesn't even bat an eye. Anybody who would make a speech, and they 200 million Americans have died, and you don't stop to catch yourself and go, excuse me, I mean 200,000.
It's estimated that 200 million people have died, probably by the time I finish this talk. But the complication of COVID-19, like lung scarring and heart damage, could become the next deniable pre-existing condition for over 6 million Americans.
For over 6 million. Well, we already had 200 million die. What's the big deal about 600 million? There's 6 million.
There's only 31 million total confirmed cases worldwide. Less than a million deaths. Again, we're not making light of that. So.
What's he talking about there?
I don't know.
200,000?
200,000.
That's what he meant to say?
I think that's what he meant to say. Because it's right at 199,525.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that. I think he meant to say 200,000.
By the time I finish this speech. So he's saying it's close enough.
Yes, but the fact that the guy didn't have the mental faculties to realize what he just said, 200 million.
And that's what the media should be paying attention to. The media shouldn't just say, well, he misspoke. They should say, you string together all these mistakes, what does that tell you about his mental faculties? The media doesn't do its job, so that's not what you're hearing from the mainstream
media. But do you think, Steve, people who are going to vote for Biden give a rip about his mental, what do you call it, acuities? Or what do you
mental
call it?
Acuity, I guess. Yeah, I think it's baked in for 90% of the electorate. I think they know, and it's not that they're voting for Biden, it's that they're voting against Trump. So I don't know.
Biden could come out in Scranton, or where does he live, Wilmington?
Yes.
Delaware?
He could come out, and he does these backyard press conferences with three reporters. Have y'all seen
And 20
these?
Geese.
And then he'll go to a high school gym there down the street and pretend like he's out somewhere across America. Just in any other year, you would say this is a complete losing strategy. But with Biden, it gives him a chance to win because it keeps him out of the public eye.
The big test will be, of course, the debates. Because those can be grueling. You know, most of the time they're 2-hour events. I don't know. Do they take a break in the middle of it? Maybe they do. I don't know. But
I want to count how many times Biden during the debate. You know, Trump has his go-to words and phrases too. Most of us do. We don't realize it sometimes because nobody points it out to us. But we, well, like our listeners have pointed out to me, I say,
huh.
There you go. Or do I say, huh?
Huh. You say, huh?
A lot.
Yeah.
Almost unlistenable, according to some people. But they listen because they want to count how many,
That's right.
As I have. I know that's annoying, but I don't even know I'm doing it. But with Biden.
So what is Biden? What is does he? Well,
what he's going to say? Here's what he say.
Can we put together some bingo cards, by the way?
Bingo cards.
Yeah.
What is that for? Oh, you mean for saying
for yes. So
well,
the,
Biden's one of Biden's favorite things is to say, "What in God's name?" You watch him; he'll say this a lot.
That's blasphemy.
Come on, man.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
Now,
but
come on, man.
But you watch him; he'll say, "What in God's name?"
Yeah.
He says this a lot. So that's.
He does say that. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
That's taking God's name in vain. What he's doing.
Yeah, because what in God's name? Because you.
You're not really talking to God or about God. You're just throwing it in as a, for Pete's sake. It's the same kind of thing.
You gotta watch doing that too.
Oh yeah,
you just took Pete's name in vain.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, he can't throw me into hell.
That's true.
Pete, I mean,
Ed just made a great theological point.
I did.
Huh? No, taking God's name in vain is a very serious matter, and sometimes we can do it and not even realize we're doing it.
Right.
Because our culture has become so flippant about that. I've had people point out to me from time to time over my life, hey, you shouldn't say that like that. I'm not talking about saying something that's obviously
right
profane. I'm talking about saying something about God where it's not reverent, I guess.
Yeah, and
say.
That's the whole point. I don't want to make a big theological thing about the whole point about taking his name in vain. That word means empty, to make it empty. You're draining the majesty out of that name by tossing it around like you would any old thing, any old expression.
I've just heard Biden, he has a bad habit. I don't know if he would call it a bad habit, but he'll say, what in God's name? He says that a lot. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, how nervous do you think the Biden folks are about the debate?
I still contend that it's probably 50-50 whether it's going to happen because they'll find a way to get him out of
really?
It.
Really?
When is it coming up?
The 29th.
We're like within 2 weeks,
it's
right?
Like within first 2 weeks.
September 29th.
Well, then we're closer than that.
Well, to answer your question, they're very nervous. They have to be.
That's 8 days away.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the Fox News, the debate is on Fox.
With Chris Wallace.
First one. That'll be September 29th.
Hey, you know, Chris Wallace, did he ever get that one-hour sit-down interview with Biden he's been wanting?
Don't believe he did.
No, he hasn't.
No, he hasn't. We would have heard.
Biden can't do a 1 hour interview.
That's to Steve's point. I don't know how he pulls off a 2 hour debate.
Is it two hours?
If it is 2 hours,
I don't know. About that.
I don't know how you pull that off.
That's high risk again. But the reason I asked Steve the question earlier. How much does it really matter because it's baked in? If you're a football team and you're playing an opponent and you're supposed to get crushed and you only lose 28-20, then people go, man, he held up well. Our team did good.
Yes.
You know, we didn't get just annihilated. We were on the
field.
Kept
it close.
We got close. I think that's the danger here. Because most people are expecting Trump to trounce Biden in the debate. Well, as long as Biden doesn't drool.
That's what I was just going to say.
Huh?
If Biden doesn't come out and drool on himself.
Right.
The media will say, and the left will say, this is the most brilliant oratory since Aristotle.
See, it's not as bad as we thought it was.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing, though. 2 hours on stage, that's a long, if that's what it is, that's a long time to fake it.
Well, here's the thing. Joe Biden, even a year ago, I said, he is not a pushover. This guy's been in politics for a long time. He can do well. Now, since COVID and he's been in the basement kind of thing, to your point, Tim, if he is able to hold his own, but the danger is he says something like, you know, please reelect Obama Biden. If he says something like that, where one of those...
Or the Harris-Biden team, he said that the other day.
You know, if he says, you know, that's why President Obama and I are running for reelection, where it's so clearly delusional, then I think that could be devastating for him.
Or if you have two or three of these moments in the debate where the interviewer has to correct you, and the sympathy is going to be with the old man.
Right.
Because people don't like to embarrass elderly people for misspeaking.
And they don't want to see them embarrassed.
No, it's sort of cringeworthy.
Yeah.
So I could see Biden saying, our trade imbalance with Chile is not a problem.
Right.
And then Chris Wallace going, you mean China? He's going to say, what did I say? I meant China. Those kind of things. Those are probably going to happen three or four times during the debate. And it'll be interesting to see Chris Wallace and who's the other one? Jake Tapper?
Different debates.
This is just
okay.
The Fox
who's the first one? Because that's probably the only one that's going to happen. Chris Wallace alone?
Yeah, I think so. He's moderating it.
So it's just Chris Wallace?
That's sure. That's what I believe.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Chris Wallace is a liberal, but he's a tough interviewer, and he won't hold back on Biden. I don't think. Some people may disagree with me.
He's like not going to give him softballs.
Yeah, first thing he's going to say, I've been asking for an interview with you for 2 months now.
Yeah.
And you won't do it. Why not? That's first
thing. He is a hard-nosed.
Huh? He'll be hard on President Trump, but he's also going to be equally hard, I think, on... I would be nervous if I were the Biden camp going into that.
You certainly won't be hearing him ask Biden what he thinks about Trump's this or that or his soul.
No, he's going to... No, I'm... You know, I'm glad that Chris Wallace is getting the interview. But I didn't, a lone moderator, usually they have two or three.
No, well.
Don't they?
If there are two or three, there'll be two or three. Well, no, I've only heard of the one.
Yeah.
Jake Tapper is the second one. And wasn't there an NPR lady that's the third?
Now, Jake Tapper is a Biden fanboy.
Sure.
Yes, he is.
That's not even... And, I don't know. Huh?
And after the Wallace debate, he might just be having to feel like he has to rehabilitate Biden's campaign.
I think there'll be one debate, and that'll be it. That'll be it. Biden's got a shot to win, a decent shot to win. I know a lot of people don't like to hear me say that. If you believe the polls,
right?
He's got a President Trump's going to have to pull off a royal flush, which can happen.
Happened in 2016.
But he'll have to do the same thing. He'll have to win a couple of those Rust Belt states that he's not supposed to. I'm talking about the upper Midwest. And win Florida and win Ohio, win North Carolina. Yeah. Win all those states he won. And also win like Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Wisconsin, that kind of thing. And that can happen. I'm not saying that can't happen.
And it's got to happen with enough votes that mail-in ballots don't become the difference. Because I don't trust that
process.
We
haven't even talked about that today. But I think for a lot of Americans, a lot of our fellow Americans, it's the ham sandwich.
Right.
Vote. And that is, if they hate Trump so much that if you give them the choice between Trump and a ham sandwich to be president, they're going a ham sandwich.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
I mean, I think...
spicy mustard.
30 to 40% of Americans are in that category, I think. Huh? With what
spicy mustard.
All right. Steve, thank you, my friend.
My pleasure.
Ed, good to have you back.
It is good to be back.
From the land of COVID. And we appreciate you joining us today, everybody, on today's issues. And keep listening to AFR. We'll see you back here tomorrow.